couple of summers ago, I was having some serious car problems. At the time, I was going through all kinds of other crap. My boyfriend and I had just broken up. My savings were depleted. I was caught up in some drama at the place that I was working. In the middle of all this hectic time, my car starts acting funny, shaking whenever it started, blowing clouds out of the exhaust, the dashboard throwing codes and check engine lights. Pretty much everything that could go wrong seemed to be happening to my car all at once. Here's the deal. I know absolutely nothing about cars, and you can say it's because I'm a girl, but even if I were a guy, I still probably wouldn't know anything. I don't really care about cars. I don't care about understanding them. I'm more than happy to pay someone to do all that work. Back then though, especially being newly on my own, I had very little in the way of disposable income. So when the car started chugging and rattling, it had me sweating right away. If it was anything major, I would be out of a car because there's no way I could afford it. One of my friends made a suggestion to me, and that was to find a local mechanic online to just run simple diagnostics, locate the problem, and maybe work out a more feasible solution, depending on what it would cost me. My friend had just recently needed to get some work done, went through a guy advertising on Facebook, and not only did he fix everything wrong with her car, but he was totally transparent about the cost. The guy had since booked up and wouldn't be able to help me out for at least 3 weeks or maybe even more. My car was getting worse and worse every time I started it. I got to work finding someone else online, and I started with Craigslist, but quickly found out I didn't like how just anonymous it was. I threw up a post and got dozens of responses within a day, but none of them had anything to do with fixing my car. It mostly was just a lot of unsolicited pictures and offers for dates and other kind of weird stuff. I scrapped that post within 24 hours, and from there, ventured out into the world of Facebook Marketplace. This seemed to be way safer off of the jump. People could see my post, see what I was looking for, and the people that responded also had a name and a face. Half the people that I commented on, I recognized from somewhere around town. They said they'd keep an eye out for an affordable mechanic for me. By that Friday, I got a message from a guy named Simon, and this guy seemed pretty legit. His profile was a few years old, wasn't covered in over-sexually post or political propaganda. He seemed normal, and his account had a long history of doing mechanic work. Lots of photos of him working on cars in garages, wearing jumpsuits in the shop, that kind of thing. Simon seemed legit from top to bottom, and with the situation that I was in, it was all I was really looking for. Through DMs, I learned that Simon was branching out into his own self-employment and was doing all his own work. He had worked for a major dealership in town and then worked for a couple of shops after that, was fully insured and certified. This was music to my ears, all the exact stuff that I wanted to hear. Simon said he had one job where he was finishing up and that I would be next in line. We exchanged phone numbers and I started saving all the cash that I could. I was anxious, but things were finally looking up. I didn't really know what to expect cost-wise though, but I knew this was the best option and the one that I could most likely afford. I let my worry take the back seat and then tried to focus on things that I actually had control over, like my mood and how I performed at work. I scraped together a little extra cash, had a couple of good nights out, and just relaxed. Things were good, and if I let them, maybe they'd become great. Sure enough, I get a call a full day earlier than I was expecting. Simon was ready for me. He'd finish up with his last customer. The fix was easier than he first diagnosed, and the car was back on the road. Again, more music to my ears. I was starting to write all my problems off at this point, like a true sucker, until you get something in writing, or even better, and see the work with your own eyes. Never take anyone at their own word. That's how all of these marketplace websites work, and it makes for a very deep headache. We exchange information, and I gave him every little detail that I could about my car. The normal stuff, like the year, the make, the model, and symptoms of the issues that I was having, that kind of thing. He gave me the address to his garage and the time that I should have arrived. Everything felt professional for a guy that I just found online, so I was even more enthralled with getting it all done and finally over with. I told Simon thank you so much for your time and that I would see him tomorrow. The address that he gave me was about a half hour away, on the side of town that I wasn't super familiar with. He told me to be there by 10 a.m., and I didn't want to be late, so I planned on leaving at 9. That never happened though. I woke to my phone buzzing around 5 in the morning. It was Simon. He said that his day had been thrown off schedule because he had an appointment later on in that day that he forgot about. He didn't want to leave me hanging. He asked if there would be any way possible that I could bring the car to him now, so he could at least take a look. I didn't work today, was already awake, and plus, I just needed this to happen already. I told him I would be there as soon as possible. He sounds super excited, said goodbye, and I started getting ready. I blasted through a shower, pulled some clothes on, and scarfed down this microwavable breakfast, and then I hit the road. I don't even think the sun was up yet. I coasted along until I didn't know the roads anymore, and it wasn't until I went past that last stoplight that I realized I wasn't even in a neighborhood anymore. There were still houses out here, but there were big empty lots, full of grass between them. Still, even with the dwindling civilization around me, I didn't think twice about it. At some point, I reached over to grab my phone, check my messages, and change the song playing throughout my speakers. The second that I picked it up, though, I get this incoming call from Simon, so I answered it right away. I put the phone to my ear as I prepared to say hello. I could hear Simon talking to someone else, though. He sounded weird. It was his voice, but he was talking in a totally different manner. Not professional, or street, if anything, if you get what I mean. "Nah, she'll be here soon," he explained to someone, who sounded just as weird. "Shh, shh, I'm calling her." Then they both got quiet. "Hello?" I said into the phone. "Jody?" Simon asked, back to normal voice. "Yeah, is everything okay?" I asked. "Yeah, I was just making sure you weren't having any trouble finding a place. I know it's kind of out there," he said. "No worries, I'm on my way. I think I'm 15 minutes out," I said. "Do you have another mechanic with you today?" I asked. He kind of stammered a bit and said, No, why?" "Oh, I thought I heard you talking to someone when I first picked up," I explained. Must have been the radio or something," he said. "Just checking to make sure you weren't lost." "How far out is it?" I asked. "The map said it's not too far off the main road." "You'll see, the address that I gave you is just for the driveway. You'll have to drive about a half mile to get back into the shop," he explained. I was starting to get a little nervous now. He didn't mention that it was in the middle of nowhere, or that I would have to drive off-road. My car was already having problems, bouncing around the country road sounded like the best way to make those problems worse. Still, I'd come this far. I still had hope that Simon was going to be my guy to get me through this and get it fixed. He could hear the apprehension in my voice, and went right to saying all the stuff that I wanted to hear. How we checked the engine, make sure everything's flushed, and it perked me right up, and got me on my way. I said bye and hung up the phone. I'd caught him lying though, a skill that I picked up during my breakup earlier that summer. He walked right into it, and I couldn't tell why. Who'd he have with him that he didn't want me to know about? The road came up and I turned into what was a big dusty turnout along the road. From there, it was a little single rut dirt road that snaked off into the forest. My gut sank almost immediately. This was clearly not a road that led to a residence or business of any kind. There might be campsites back there, at the very most, and if not, piles of highway trash and shooting targets. I rolled my car through the lot and then onto that dirt road, and bumped along for maybe 5 minutes, then brought my car to a stop. Even with the rising sunlight, there was nothing out here. No light in the distance, no big warehouse, no shop doors, nothing. I grabbed my phone and called Simon. "Hello?" he said. "Hey, I don't see anything out here, like, at all. How far did you say it was?" I asked, knowing he had already said it a half a mile off the main road. "Oh, about a half a mile. Well, I've already gone that far. I've been driving for a few minutes now," I interrupted him. "Oh, well, you're almost here then. I don't log distance well. It might be further than a half mile, 2 miles maybe, but it has to be 2 miles at the most," he explained. My gut kept twisting into a knot. Things were starting to not add up, and I was feeling a fool for being out in the woods at 5 in the morning. Unbelievably, I kept pressing on, tapping my gas pedal and daring my car to break down at any damn moment. I go just a little bit further when my phone lights up. It's Simon calling again. I answer and bring my car to a slow roll. "Hey, I can see your headlights," he exclaims. I feel a bit of confidence for just a split second, but then I remember the string of buzzwords that he used to get me out here. I'm realizing this guy has to be a bull, and a supremely good one at that. Anytime I expressed any kind of doubt, he started saying all the positive stuff that I needed to hear, and I just take him at his word from there. "Yeah, just keep going, just back through this tree line and you're here." "Why is your shop out here, Simon?" I just asked him point blank. "Oh, you know, he started. "There is no shop, is there?" I asked in a measured tone. I was just gauging his reaction at this point to see how much of what he was saying was a lie. Then he did something unexpected. He hung up on me. I looked down in disbelief, scoffed, then froze. Shadows flickered up ahead, just beyond my headlights. I slowly looked up, and to my horror, two, maybe three people were skulking through the tall grass, coming right at me. I screamed and hit the lock button, which was a relief, but I really needed to actually leave. I was panicking and wasting time. I grabbed my shift knob and slid it into reverse. Nothing happened. I could actually feel that nothing happened within transmission, or anywhere for that matter. When I hit the gas, the car still went forward. Not good. I shifted into reverse and it set, and then I shifted back into reverse. Nothing still. I shifted back into drive. Still nothing. My eyes slowly split wide open as I realized I was stuck in neutral. The car problems I was having were about to get me murdered. I continued playing with the stick, played with the pedal, but nothing was working. The engine revved, but one of the gauges just spun circles. Everything else was totally still. Everything but those phantoms beyond the windshield. There were definitely three of them, and they fanned out and closed in at a sickening pace. I could feel bile steaming up my throat from my anxiety, from my desperation that led me out there, and tears began blurring my vision, but I knew the car was my only hope. I kept playing with the stick until it clicked. The car dumped into reverse and suddenly I was rolling backwards, the way I came. That dirt road was bumpy and uneven, but for the most part, it was a straight shot. I didn't even bother to use a mirror at first, just started jetting backwards as quickly as the car would take me. I could feel myself hitting the bumper here and there, but that was a small price to pay in the face of whatever these dudes had planned for me. "Hey, get back here, we're gonna get you fixed up," I heard someone yell over my engine. "Come on, you were so close," another voice hollered. And then, nothing. I bucked back out into the main road. I shifted into drive and blasted towards town. Thankfully, the car was operating better than it ever had. Like that off-road session had corrected some of its own issues. Whatever the case, I was thanking God that I didn't get caught up in whatever the hell was going on back in those woods. It didn't even occur to me until I got back into town that I should probably call the police. I looked back into my messages and of course, Simon had blocked me. I figured he did the same with the phone, which was probably just some kind of burner. Thankfully, I got back home without any incident. I wanted to just go back to bed and sleep it all away. But I was so riled up from that experience. I ended up calling the police and they took a full report. I didn't do any kind of follow-up or anything, but in my gut, I have a feeling that they found him. I keep an eye on the public bookings, people they pick up for various crimes, and I saw Simon amongst the names one week. Only time I ever saw it. The last names didn't match what he had before, but the whole Facebook account was just a lure, or so I believe, to get girls like me to go out into the woods. And the scariest part of it all is the guy almost got me.
Last year, my laptop broke and I really needed a new one. I looked around online and also went to Best Buy, but then I had the idea to look on Facebook Marketplace as well. It seemed like it could be the cheapest and fastest option. I didn't need it to be brand new, and I also didn't want to wait for the shipping time of buying a used one online. So I looked to Facebook Marketplace of people that were close to me. Luckily, I live in an area with quite a few other people. I was able to find the laptop that I wanted and found one for a reasonable price as well. It was not too far away, and I contacted the seller and said that I would like to buy it as soon as possible. The seller got back to me a short time later and told me that I could come over to his house. I didn't like this idea though. Possibly nothing bad would happen and it would be fine, but I didn't want to go to a random guy's house. I responded to him and said that I would rather meet in a public location that was in the area. The man asked why, and I said that I just didn't want to go to someone's house that I didn't know. After a little more of a conversation through Facebook messaging, he finally agreed. He gave me a name of a local restaurant to meet him at and said that he would be there at 9 p.m. I agreed and then went to withdraw some cash. I wasn't all that happy that the man wanted to meet at 9 o'clock at night, but at least it was a public location. I had never been to the restaurant before where he wanted to meet, but that night I drove there, and it was a smaller and older looking place. There was nothing else really that close to it, and it was kind of away from the other businesses in the area. The parking lot was in the back, and I parked and then messaged the seller, letting him know that I was there. He responded saying to come inside. After that, I got out of my car and walked inside the restaurant. The place seemed pretty old, and also appeared to be more of a bar than a restaurant. I found a small open table and sat down at a stool and looked around. I couldn't tell where the guy was. His profile picture from Facebook was not of himself, but a logo of a sports team. I looked around to see if there was a guy with a laptop or by himself, but I didn't see anybody. I messaged him, saying that I was there and inside, and asked him where he was. A couple of minutes went by, and I still didn't see him, and he didn't reply either. Finally, after about 5 minutes, I got a notification that he responded. When I read it, he said that he was sorry, but he couldn't make it. I was really confused. He had just texted me earlier, telling me to come on inside as if he was there. Now he says he's not going to make it? I was frustrated and decided to just leave. I didn't even want to buy the laptop from him anymore. The guy was just too weird. I was sure that there were plenty of other good laptops for sale, and I wouldn't have a problem finding another one. So I got up and left the bar. I headed out to my car in the parking lot behind the bar and then got inside. Then I started to drive back home. The bar was maybe 15 minutes from my house, and when I got back onto the roads, they were very quiet. But after beginning to drive home, a car left the bar right behind me. I thought nothing of it at first, but the more I drove, it remained right on my tail. After making several turns, it didn't seem like a coincidence anymore. It seemed like whoever was driving that car was deliberately following me, especially because of the fact that they were following really close behind, and if I went faster or slower, they would maintain about the same speed as I was going. When I got within 5 minutes of my apartment, I started to really worry. But part of me was just telling myself, there's no way this car is actually following me. It's just me being paranoid. It was a pickup truck that was following me, and about average size. I really could just see the headlights though, and couldn't tell who was behind the wheel. Finally, I made it to the turnoff for my apartment. I lived in a pretty large complex that had multiple buildings and a huge parking lot. When I pulled in, so did the truck. That was my worst fear. I drove through the parking lot, but did not stop. Instead, I drove all the way through and then left the parking lot on the other side. The truck also left with me. At that point, it was pretty much confirmed 100% to me that I was being followed. My adrenaline was rushing, and I was desperate to lose the car. But still, I knew better than to speed or drive recklessly. Instead, I started turning onto random streets and into random businesses and restaurant parking lots. Then I would exit out the other side and go back onto the road. It was probably very clear to whoever was behind me now that I knew they were following me and I was trying to lose them. This went on for quite some time though, probably 30 minutes. Soon though, my light came on signaling that I needed to get gas soon. I got really worried. I couldn't keep this up for much longer. The truck was still right on my tail. I kept doing what I was doing and would probably be able to go for about 40 more miles or so. Then, when I made a turn, the truck just went the other way. I couldn't believe it, but it was finally over. I guess he finally gave up. After the truck drove away, I went and got some gas and then went back to my apartment. I was very careful the entire time, and I did not see the truck for the rest of the drive. After getting back home, I realized that the driver of the truck was likely the seller of the laptop. I hadn't really thought about it when I was being followed, but it all made sense now. He told me that he was inside the bar to try to get me to go in. I went back to look at the listing, and it was now gone. The user had blocked me as well, whoever he was. I was a little bit worried, because originally I did drive to my apartment complex, but I just hoped that he thought it was the first of all the random places that I turned in to lose him. He also wouldn't know which building I lived in or which unit was mine. Luckily though, I never saw him again. I also haven't used Facebook Marketplace since that incident. I'm one of those people that's always getting a new phone. I get one almost every year. For me, it's just a personal preference. A lot of times, I trade in my old phone for a new one, but that's not always the case. I happened to just buy a new iPhone a while back, but I still had my old one, so I decided to sell it on Facebook Marketplace. The phone was still pretty new, and I figured that somebody would want it. I listed it for a reasonable price, and within a day, someone had made me an offer. I sold it to them, and after receiving payment, I shipped it to the buyer, which was a man named Elliot. Now, everything seems normal, and it was. He got the phone, and I thought that was the end of that. But maybe like a week later, I got a friend request on Facebook from Elliot, the buyer of the phone. I didn't know him at all, other than that he bought my phone. I clicked on his profile, and I knew that he lived in the same state, in a city that was like an hour or two away. When I clicked on his profile, though, there wasn't all that much information, because we weren't friends. I thought that it was kind of weird, though, so I declined his request. The next day, he sent me a message. He asked me why I declined his request, and said that he really wanted to be friends with me. I told him, "I just sold you the phone. I don't know you at all other than that. Please don't take it personally. I just don't know you." He kept sending me messages, though. He called me some things that I will not repeat here, and he seemed pretty angry. At that point, I blocked him. It was really strange, to say the least, but I thought that was the end of it. Now, Elliot did not contact me through Facebook or any other social media for that matter after that. What he did was much worse. The next night, a few hours after I had gotten home from work, there was a knock on the front door. I walked over to the front of my house and looked out the window to see what looked like Elliot standing there. I couldn't believe that he was actually at my house. I never would have guessed that he would have done that. When I saw this, I jumped back and walked away from the door. He knocked again. There was no way that I was answering the door. This guy had to be insane. I heard him yell that he knew I was home from the other side of the door. I'm not sure how he knew that. Maybe he heard me walking when I went by the door. I didn't think that he saw me when I looked out of the window. Still, I wasn't going to answer it. Instead, I called the police. I told them that a man who I had met on Facebook showed up at my house unannounced and uninvited and would not leave. I was told that somebody would be there shortly. And the police got there much faster than I expected. Elliot basically stayed on my front step. He didn't try to force entry, but he sure wasn't leaving. When the police got there, they talked to him, and then they talked to me as well. Eventually, they got Elliot to leave and told him that if he came back, he would be arrested. He agreed not to come back, and luckily, he kept his word. I haven't seen him or been contacted by him since then. I still can't believe that he did that, though.